There was a church in America that did a survey. I don't know if you've heard of a guy called Rick Warren. Had the fastest growing church at the time they did the survey. And they did the survey to ask, what do you think the church is all about? And 89% of the people in his church came back and said that they believed church was for them and their family. How does the church grow with, how does Jesus reach people with that sort of mentality? For me and myself. Actually, the church is here for the benefit of the non-members. Those that don't know him. That's who Jesus is here for. Not for those that have come to patch up all their problems and leave. Yes, he does do that. That's one of the benefits of being a member. But there's a whole lot of benefits of being a non-member. It's you and me reaching out to them. To bringing change in the world out there. Okay, so I really believe that the church is a life, a church is the life source of a community. So let's look at Genesis 26 and verse 1. And you may miss scriptures there. I only gave my scriptures late and I missed half of them. So Genesis 26 and verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land. Guys, without the church, there would be a famine. There would be a famine. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Because you know what? Often, when we're going through difficult times and struggles, we want to go to Egypt for the solution. No, that's not where the solution lies. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. A famine speaks of no water. Who's watched anything of Gaza at the moment? So a few of you, turn your TV on, go to BBC, and I go every morning just to make sure that Jesus doesn't come back while I'm sleeping. But that land is devastated. If they could have a few wells, a few clean water places, they would be so happy. There is none of that. And so what we need to be in our community as wells in the same way that they would want them to be in their community. But we read in further on down where the scriptures tell us that the Philistines, out of anger and out of jealousy, they actually blocked up the wells that Abraham had dug. They blocked them up. Can you imagine that? Some of the things they did was they would throw a dead donkey down a well. And so then it would be contaminated and it wouldn't be able to be used. I want to say to you, you got a nice t-shirt there. I want to say to you that you need to be careful that you don't contaminate other people's wells. I need some water here. Whoops. You also need to be careful you don't block other people's wells up. The things we find ourselves doing can block other people's wells. Tian shared about breaking of bread and communion. If you've done something and there's now a rift in your relationship, you've actually blocked their well until you make it right and participate once again. We need to be careful about blocking one another's wells. Because when our wells are blocked, the whole community loses the life source that God has given them, which is the church. It's a life source. It's a gathering place. You guys come. In the Old Testament times, when they had a well, like the woman at the well, you all know the story where the lady comes down and Jesus meets her. So that's how it would be in the community. People would come down in the afternoon when it was cooler and they would all gather together, and the ladies that couldn't get their water up, the guys would help them to get their water up, and it would be this place where they were like, yeah, before church, where there's this buzz that's going on, everyone's talking to each other, and that was the life source of the community. And now, that is the gathering place. That's why people come here. That's why you bring your friends here. That's why you bring the sick here. That's why you bring those that are struggling emotionally here. It's because this is the place where life is. This is where the well is. Come and drink and experience God's life. You know what? Sometimes there can be deliberate disobedience, sabotage, or neglect. People neglect their wells. In those days, you had to continually be digging that well out, otherwise it would silt up. So it wasn't sin, but it was neglect. And so people didn't dig their well out, and so there was not, you couldn't get the water out because it was silted up. That's why you guys, on a daily basis, you need to be digging that well out. You need to be lifting out that sand. Whatever's causing those blockages, you need to be getting rid of it. But you know what? Whatever you lost, you're able to restore. This is not the end of the road if you have neglected. This is not the end of the road if you haven't done what you should be doing. Guys, I want to encourage you, the basics. My wife will tell you I'm quite a funny person. I've got serious routine in my life. At this time, I get up. At that time, I drink coffee. At that time, I have my quiet time. And at that time, I have my loud time. And then I'm like, so she knows the time. So she knows when, I want to be part of that time. Boop, and then she's there at that time. I tell her, no, you got to go back to the beginning. It all started in the beginning. But I want to have a look at Acts 3 and verse 19 to look at seven aspects of different wells that we should be digging. Because there's not each well that we dig has got a different thing that it's offering to each community. I'm sure you've heard Andrew and his spinning plates illustration. So these wells are like spinning wells. Better than plates. It's much harder, but it's got a better ending as well. So these seven wells, you have to be continually digging them out and keeping them right. And sometimes someone's thrown a donkey down this one. You've got to get the donkey out. You've got to clean it out. You've got to get fresh water. So that's the story. Seven wells, and they all start with R, just to make it easy for you. I'm going to show you and. Acts 3 and verse 19. I hope that we got the right words here because this is ESV. Okay, here we go. First R, repent. Write it down if you're taking notes. First R, repent. Then, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. That blotted out, scratch it out and put removed. Next R. That times of refreshing, next R, may come from the presence of the Lord, and He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive, next R, until the time for restoring, next R, all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of His prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up, next R, raise up, a prophet like me from your brothers. You will listen to him in whatever he tells you. And then I didn't give the next scripture, and it says, you will receive him. Which one? Where was that? Okay. Even Jesus, heaven must receive him. Sorry. I don't know what I haven't got the verses. Yeah, I just got 19 to 22. Go one back. One more. There. Must receive. So receive another R before restoring. So we're going to look at these wells that God wants in His community to bring life. The first one, a repenting well. A well of repentance. Guys, there's no other place that you can start except in a place of repentance. there must be repentance. Repentance also must result in accountability. If you repent and you don't tell someone so that they can hold you accountable, you are going to slide back into what you were once before. So repentance is to change one's mind for the better, to change one's lifestyle, to amend one's past sins. Guys, when we repent, we can't just think about it. We've actually got to pray, we've got to repent, and then we have to change our lifestyle to line up with what we have been thinking and what we have changed. I did a whole thing on prayer in our congregation, and everybody, you know, they always talk about, oh, Jesus taught us how to pray. So I bet you all missed the first part. It says, and Jesus said, pray. When you pray, say. All of us pray in our minds, eh? None of us say. So when you pray, say. I tell you, I've seen people's lives change as they begin to pray aloud. You get faith as you open your mouth and you pray. Faith comes when your own head hears the words coming out of your mouth. The devil has deceived us into keeping quiet and praying in our head. Open your mouth. When you pray, say. We've got that thing in our congregation. When you pray and everyone shouts, say. We have to do that. It's a radical transformation of thought. Repentance. If repentance is easy for you, then I don't know if it's genuine. Repentance needs to hurt. You need to like, whoa, that hurts. And you know what? When it hurts, Tanya, can you please hold me accountable in this thing? I know that if you don't look over my shoulder, I'm going to be back there in a very short time. So the first well is a place of repentance. Guys, we need to be in that place of repentance, because if we don't live in that place, the community that we live in won't come to that place either. I want to tell you, there's such power in repentance. Lives change. It is unbelievable when people repent. Romans 2 and verses 4 to 6. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, God, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath. My goodness, when I see that word in the scripture, I put it in red because I don't want it. I don't want God's wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Folk, we need to be those that are quick to repent. Something that I really learned when I came down to Josh Jen from Johannesburg. Been here 11 years now, and die to self. When I first came here, it was like, what are you talking about? But now, without repentance, repentance fashions your personality. It changes who you are. I was always joking and talking rubbish and like all sorts of stuff, you know, like trying to be the limelight and stuff. Repentance fashioned that. Brought it under control. You know, oh, that's just who I am. No, no. Repentance will change you. You won't stay like you are. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. I don't think you've got it up there. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. How many times have you prayed for someone and the emotions are going crazy and they're crying and they're doing all this stuff? But you know what? It's not godly repentance. It's worldly sorrow. And worldly sorrow won't get anybody anywhere for any length of period of time.
2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. $10 you owe me. Oh, she wants to kiss me now. I've got to keep my wife under control, huh? So we need to be in a place of repentance, but we need to be in a place of accountability when we repent. The second part, I said removing. It's the church that wipes out. It washes. When my kids were small, they used to love to play outside. I have three boys, so they would play in the mud, and we wouldn't see them for most of the day. We had a huge garden. It was like an acre, and we wouldn't see them, and they would be playing, and at the end of the day, I'd have to call them, and they would come in, and I'd be covered from head to toe in mud and rubbish. And we'd stick them in the bath, because this was my job. I'd stick them in the bath, all three of them at the same time. They were very close in age. And I'd wash them. And they'd go in dirty, and they'd come out clean. That's what a church that wipes out, a church that removes sin out of somebody's life. When repentance is evident, God must be the healing agent to people. And yeah, Galatians 5 and verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Paul was writing to a church that had been set free, and then these Pharisees and guys had come in, and they try and put the law back onto them, and Paul says to them, you have been wiped clean for freedom. It's no use washing them clean and then taking them and tying them up with rope or chains. No, where you have been set free from, but then you've got to watch out, because to get the guys that are so set free that they can do whatever they feel like doing, there's no balance in their life. Oh, I can do this and I can do that. No, you can't. The word says that you can't. People get confused with licentiousness and legalism. Licentiousness is when you've lost the boundaries, and legalism is when the boundaries are too tight. Galatians 5 and verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Don't indulge your flesh. As soon as you get to the place where you are causing your brother or sister to stumble, you are moving into flesh, you are moving into sin. So yes, it might be okay for you to do something, but if you're causing someone to stumble, no, you have to stop. That's what the Word of God says. A scripture that most people know and can and quote, I don't know if I put it up there, Romans 8 and verse 37, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the only thing that can separate you? It said nothing can. What can separate you from God? Yourself. So anything that can separate, when you turn your back and walk away from God, you have separated yourself. So we need to be that church that's wiping away, that's removing, that, and we need to be extending grace to sinners who have shown repentance. They need to be washed. This is my favorite well, a refreshing well. The Bible says, back there it says, repent that your sins may be washed, that times of refreshing will come. Times of refreshing, what is that talking about? It's the intimate work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I love the Holy Spirit working in my life. I love the Holy Spirit working in others' lives when I pray for them. Because without Him, we can pray till we're blue in the face. Nothing will happen anyway. He's our counselor, our comforter, our friend. He brings the work of the Father into our lives. We need to keep this well open. If the Holy Spirit well gets blocked up, there's a good chance you're going to backslide. Because you won't be able to hear Him. When you can't hear the Father, if you can't hear the Father, what do you follow? Never mind, where do you follow? How do you follow if you can't hear Him? When Patsy tells me what to do, I can't do it unless I can hear her tell me to do it. And that's all the time. We need to stay fresh. Look at this. This scripture, if there's, for me, one of the most important scriptures in the Word, in the book of Acts. It's Acts 2, and I don't think I gave it to the person on AV. It's Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." Most people get that right. They repent and they get baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then this little piece, everyone misses, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Who receives the Holy Spirit? Everyone. Just in your mind, everyone. Everyone receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is He? He's a gift. Do you pay for a gift? Is it a gift if you have to pay? No, it's not. So for me, the area where most people have lost out is in this area of receiving the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized and receive. So tonight, if you're sitting here and you've never received the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to trust God that you receive the Holy Spirit. You don't leave this place without having the Holy Spirit full in your life. Yes, all of us receive a measure of the Holy Spirit when we get saved, but we can walk around empty. Our well can be empty. We need to fill that well. Because if somebody comes to drink out of your well and there's no water, what they're going to get? A mouthful of sand. Do you want to give your friend a mouthful of sand? Do you want to give your wife a mouthful of sand? Husbands, you need to dig this well not only for yourself but for your wife. You need to dig it not only for yourself and your wife but your children. And if you're a leader in this community, you need to dig for this whole community. And as a community, you need to be digging for those out there that don't know Jesus Christ. A remaining church. We remain in prayer and praise. I just so enjoyed the worship tonight. I enjoyed the drums more. But anyway, it was really cool. It was just wonderful. I experienced the presence of God. I got goosebumps. I don't know if it was a fan or the Holy Spirit, but there really was. There was a sense of the Holy Spirit. If you didn't sense the Holy Spirit during worship tonight, you need to be up here at the front praying, allowing someone to pray for you to receive the fullness of His Spirit. You know what? All of us, we like clay pots. That's what the Word says. Clay pots leak. Do you know that? Anyone that has flowers and you've got a clay pot, you fill it up. The water actually leaks out of there slowly. And all of us leak. And so all of us need to be replenished all the time. And it's like that in the book of Acts. You see how they got filled and refilled and filled again and filled again. There was just this ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit so that well, when somebody comes to you, you say to them, "Let me pray for you. The Holy Spirit is going to touch you. I am confident that He's going to touch you." and there's such a confidence inside of you. When you lay hands on that person, just the power of God will go through them. Not because you're the worship leader or you're the person sitting in the back row. No, you just got to be here and you got to be full of the Spirit, and you will see God work through your life, because that's what He's called us to do in this community. So we need to remain in prayer and praise. Prayer is a wonderful opportunity for God to stir us to pray. But while we're praying, let's not just get caught up in our words going out, but let's listen personally. Lord, what are you saying to me? And also, Lord, what are you saying to us together? That's what's so important now that our prayer leading is done, and as our leaders guide us and take us along where God wants us to be. We need to be those that are listening, not just talking all the time. I want to encourage you, when you pray in your own prayer time at home, don't do all the talking. You've got two ears and one mouth. So you need to listen twice as much as what you talk. So guys, when you pray, listen. When you pray, say, and then listen. Lord, what are you saying to me? So we need to be praying for others. We need to be in a place of prayer on a regular basis. Galatians 4:19, Paul writes, and he says, "My little children, for whom I'm again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Let me tell you, childbirth is bad. Who's having a baby? Do you want to block your ears? Because it was bad for me, but it was worse for my wife. We went when we had our first child. We didn't know. So I said to Patty, "I will pray in tongues as long as you are in childbirth." Anguish. Let me tell you, it was anguish. It took 24 hours for him to come. He weighed 4.5 kilograms. He was a big boy, and we were praying. We were having natural childbirth. And I was praying in tongues. It was like, anguish of childbirth. So I know what I know, but whoa, ladies, you should know what I'm talking about. Or if you haven't had a child, when you have a child, all these young ladies laughing at me, you're going to experience what I'm talking about. Write it down and say, "Roland told me." Opening doors and opportunities must be high on our agenda when we're praying. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, "For we wanted to come to you, certainly our Paul did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way." Guys, the devil can block you. That's why we got to fight. We got to kick those doors down. The gates of hell will not prevail. That means we are going forward. We are kicking down. We are opening. Not he's coming against us and we're fighting as we go backwards. No, it's the other way around. But not only prayer, but a place of praise. One of my favorite places, I'm sure the older guys have heard this. Have you heard about the Jailhouse Rock? Hey? Acts 16:25, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." They must have been pretty good worship leaders, eh? They're listening. "Suddenly there was a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken." That's a Jailhouse Rock. Not Elvis Presley. "One for the money." You know that one? Oh, I'm ashamed of my age. Sorry, babes. "At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose." What Patsy was talking about. Praise takes chains and rips them off. It pulls them off. It brings freedom to people. Prison doors come down. A restoring church, the prophetic church. Malachi 4 and verse 5. "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents. Else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. A restoring church rebuilds, renews. It restores relationships. I've seen people with hardened hearts, and somebody speaks prophetically under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that heart is broken open. People are set free because it's the word of the Lord for them at that time. It brings people from disobedience to obedience. How do you know when God says to you, "Oh, you're this, but you're better over here"? And if that's me, there I go. I'm off on my way. I've had too many things go wrong with me not to listen to God. Really, I haven't got time to go there. The prophetic church, that's us, you and me. We must deal with things in the present that will affect us in the future. We deal with those things now, then we don't have to deal with them down the road. They're dealt with. And often we have Ephesians 2:9. It says, "Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." If we are not a prophetic people, how are we going to know what God has got for us to do? Because He says He's prepared that. If I shout louder, will all you guys wake up? There we go. But I want to tell you this one thing, is that often because sin has been dealt with, repentance has taken place, you're walking in accountability, the area that the devil comes to oppose you is in the area of discouragement, distraction from what God has got for you, and all these other, and they become sin issues. If you want to write a sentence down, write this down. The restoring church needs to have the ability to see, prepare for, and become the future. So you need to see. So we see that. Let me pick on Josh. Check, he woke up. Josh. We see Josh walking in the fullness of what he has here. And so in a prophetic moment back here, we walk alongside Josh and we say, "Hey, Josh, this is what God has for you. This is what He has for you. Let's walk this road together. Let's see everything that God has for you." That's what a prophetic church does. It sees people's future and it helps them to walk into that future, not to miss out on what God has for them. You know, often you say to someone, "Hey, I really see this on your life." And then later on they tell you, "Oh, but you are dangling carrots." It's not. It's prophetically you are actually seeing something. And if they walk in what you have asked them to walk in, they'll fulfill that call. But often they don't get there because they don't see it the way that you see it. A raising up church. Just quickly, in the army, who went to the army? Yeah. All the old men in the front row. In the army, they trained you for one office higher than what you were. So if somebody in that office above you got taken out, you could step into his position. The other thing is, even if you didn't step into his position, you knew why he did what he did. So Ryan's training a whole lot of deacons, and you don't become deacons because you're not nice people. No, this is just an example. and he's training up these guys, and they don't become deacons this time around. They're going to become deacons the next time around. But now while they're waiting, they know exactly why this deacon is doing what he's doing, because he's been trained to do the same thing. Okay, that's raising up. 2 Timothy 2. And these things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. The last one is a releasing church. It's no use me teaching you about prophecy and never giving you an opportunity to prophesy. So it's raising up, training and equipping, and then releasing, allowing people to flow in what God has for them. Elders, deacons, comm leaders, people that prophesy. There's all sorts of stuff that God wants to equip and train you in. You need to open your heart and say, Lord, where do you want me? Where do you want me? I want to tell you that you may remain a saint for all your days, but you know what? God will use you in different areas of your life. He will equip you in places that you can be used. I wonder if you close your eyes, please. The place where we started tonight was in the area of repentance. And it takes repentance to actually walk out your salvation as well. It's the place where your walk with God starts, and that's in a place of repentance. Lord, I receive the fact that you died for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. I will no longer be kept from what you have for me by the devil. And you know what, folks? There are times when we have walked with God, and then for whatever reason, we have stopped walking with God. And God wants to say to you this afternoon, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. And for those of you that you've got that thing inside of you that you know that you need to deal with, you need to repent. And I want to tell you, repentance is not a shameful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that God uses to set us free. So if you're here this afternoon and you feel, hey, I need to repent about this thing, I wonder if you would come to the front. And I'm sure there's some leaders and stuff that would come and pray with you. Come on, let's do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. No one's going to look at you. Come. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay, while I'm speaking, you can make your way to the front. We don't want to, maybe we should all stand up together. It makes it easier to walk to the front. These chairs are quite hard to get out of. If you're here this afternoon and you really feel like, hey, I need a dose of the Holy Spirit. I need to be full to overflowing. I'm feeling pretty empty. I'm feeling like I need the Holy Spirit to come and to touch me. I need this well to be dredged out and opened up, that the water in this well would be clean and pure. If you're in that place, I wonder if you could come forward. It's a wonderful experience, guys. Holy Spirit is amazing. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, if you've never spoken in tongues, it doesn't mean you have to speak in tongues, but one of the ways that the evidence of the Holy Spirit is there is you speak in tongues. I wonder if you could come up as well.
You can help us.
Okay, I wonder if there are some leaders in this congregation that could perhaps come and help me. There's a bit too many.